want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, gentle, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, asking for what blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Pacific Coast and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. East Coast time. We're really glad that you could join us. It's been an eventful week, but I don't think it's going to match what's coming up. There are things lining up that are incredible. We'll get to those. Well, let me put it this way. We're going to get to those over the course of 3 hours. First hour, we're going to be joined in just a moment by Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report, that's heard right here on the Global Star Radio Network, both our satellites. And glad to say they're still up and running, because I'm getting reports from my friends in the media that a lot of their shows have been taken down. Yeah, technical difficulties. I call them Google difficulties. We have, second hour, we have Mike Adams. And we're going to talk about a whole lot of things, but we're going to talk some about Google, and I imagine that's going to come into probably two of the three conversations tonight. In the third hour, we are joined by John Wesley Rouse. I caught up with him earlier, and man, did he have a lot to say about where the Charlottesville / Phoenix / George Soros group's terrorist tactics are going. And what he had to say, this conservative man, conservative expert, very, very cautious in what he says, doesn't step out on the ledge. Wait till you hear what he has to say about what's coming. Well, just a couple of news and notes here. First of all, my thanks to Ernie Hancock, who was a guest last week from the Arizona Breakfast Club. And you really, 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 really should come to that first Saturday, if you're in the Phoenix area, first Saturday of every month. And a hardcore activist, and I mean hardcore, the inventors of the Ron Paul phrase, Lovevolution, close allies still with the Ron Paul camp, who, by the way, was demonetized by YouTube last week. I spoke there yesterday, and just a great, great event. And you can find out all about that event by going to freedomsphoenix.com and looking up the Arizona Breakfast Club that's there. Also, had an interesting afternoon yesterday. Spent a couple of hours with a couple of representatives of big-time politicians here in Arizona. I had lunch with Teresa Martinez, who's a congressional staffer for Congressman Gosar, and Joe Delgado, who really is an old, 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 close personal friend of mine from basketball circles. But he now works for our Secretary of State, Michelle Reagan, here in Arizona. Both quality politicians, both quality representatives of these politicians. And we talked about everything from Google to North Korea to the deep state to what Trump is fighting against. Fascinating conversation. And it's no secret I have disdain for the way Congress conducts their business, but there are good people there, like Gary Haven said 3 weeks ago. Rand Paul's as good as they get. Ron Paul, I think, was the best. We have some good ones. Trent Franks has done a pretty good job on the EMP issue, but no one's listening. And, of course, Congressman Gosar shares a lot of values with people in this audience with regards to loyalty to the Constitution, conservative values, putting America first. And so my thanks to Teresa and Joe for that great afternoon. So on to the show. Who brings this show to you? Well, we have a number of sponsors who really make this available. The first is Health Masters, Dr. Ted Brouwer. You just heard Ted's replay from the week. and Ted owns healthmasters.com, and you've heard me tell the story. I was in absolute agony with my back. By the way, I'm still waiting for that MRI. I'm pushing the issue on Tuesday. And Dr. Ted comes home from Greece, gives me some magnesium sports oil. Well, you know the rest, okay? So I'm functional now, but I still need to find out really what's going on. But thanks to Dr. Ted, I'm back to living my life. Healthmasters.com for whatever ails you. Supplements, before he saved me from knee surgery 3 years ago, helped Doug Hagman with his blood sugar. It's just a tremendous, tremendous organization. And we have a coupon code, 5% off. The coupon code is CSS, the Common Sense Show, CSS5. We're also brought to you by Numana. And in these uncertain times, Numana is something that everybody needs in their food preparation, their survival preparation program. Someone wrote me a really sarcastic, they were trying to be flippant to the YouTube channel, and they said, you know, Dave, here comes a hurricane, blah, 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 and we got to leave. What are we going to do with all that storable food? That's why Numana offers the grab-and-go bucket. 72 meals, it's portable, you can grab it and go, you can store it. Numana really is the best there is when it comes to storable food. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And use the coupon code Hodges9. That's a new coupon code, Hodges9, numana.com/Hodges. And then finally, we're brought to you by Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. And I had a good long talk with Steve this week, and neither one of us, I think, have really anticipated the challenges that Google has brought to us with regard to censoring us. So we need to get this word out while we can. When the economy goes down, and just the sheer debt will eventually bring this economy down, you know, $20 trillion debt's the good news, $240 trillion of unfunded mandated liabilities, and $2.5 quadrillion in credit swap derivatives. Just the sheer weight of that will someday bring this economy down. The minute they raise interest rates 1%, say goodbye to the dollar. That's why you want to put your money in precious metals. Keep an operating amount in your bank account. Get the rest the heck out and get into precious metals that'll hold its value after the crisis passes. How do you get a hold of Steve? Well, you go to 586-486-4842, and I'll talk more about precious metals a little bit later in the show as a lead into what we're doing with James Wesley Rawls. Well, our first guest, as I indicated, is Joe Hagman, and the Hagman & Hagman Report's at the forefront of everything that's going on. And I want to highlight Joe's new endeavor, too. The Hagmans are now have broadcast hours up. It seems like they're almost on like ESPN, 24-7, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. They're there, and they're bringing you the very best in news and current events. Joe, welcome to the show. Tell us about your new endeavor and how's that going with you and John Robertson.
Well, thanks a lot, Dave, and yeah, I'd absolutely love to do that. And then after that, I want to tell a kind of a funny story to break the ice a little bit. But our new shows, these are great. Both my father and then myself and John Robertson have separate shows 5 days a week, 1 hour a day. My dad does his show. It's the Doug Hagman Show from 9 to 10. And we have our show, The Daily Show, from 2 to 3. And we've been doing this. I think we're starting our sixth or seventh week this coming Monday, tomorrow, Monday, Labor Day. But this is, we've been on the air now 6.5, almost 7 years doing the Hagman Report. And as we've continued to grow and build that show, there's been a lot of changes. You know, it really started with my father and I taking 3 hours a night and talking about issues and current events, the economy, politics, while taking calls. And as the show grew, we began to bring on guests, and we'd have sometimes one guest on for 2 hours a night, and that would be the model of the show. And about 2 years ago, we brought John Robertson in, and he was working in Hollywood, and he was a frequent caller on our show. And long story short, he started doing shows where he was talking about and kind of exposing Hollywood. And he got fired from Hollywood, and he became our program director. So now, you know, we have 3-4 guests on a night on our 3-hour show, which doesn't really give us a lot of time to talk like we used to. Like me and my dad used to sit there and talk for 3 hours a night while taking calls. So we started doing the secondary show, my dad's show. He does 9 to 10. I do 2 to 3 with John. And we got to get a chance to just let loose on these shows where John and I have been bringing on a guest on Fridays, some Fridays at least. Greg Jackson was one. Coach Dave was just on. Peter Chalka was on. But it gives us a chance to be able to, you know, really get into our personal feelings on a number of issues and have discussions about current events and whatnot. Where it's not so easy to do that when you have guests on the show, because a lot of guests are topic driven. You know, they have books, or, you know, they want to talk EMP prevention, or, you know, about Congress. This gives us the chance to just really cover any and everything that's on our mind. And the, you know, one thing I'll say this about the numbers. When me and my father started our show, The Hagman Report, if we had numbers like we do now when we started these other shows, I can't imagine where this is going to go. Because when we started The Hagman Report, you know, if we had 500 people a night, you know, for the first 6 months, we were doing good. Or if we got up into to 1,000, we were doing good. We're already doing really so well on the daily shows. And I know it's not about the numbers, but it's very encouraging to know that you're reaching so many people. And with these extra shows, that there is, that listening to me talk, you know, or listening to me being on the air for 3 hours a day, and then doing another hour, making it four, you actually have more listeners. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. If people want to listen to us talk for that long or be on the air that long in a day, that's awesome. And we just, we're so blessed and appreciative of having these new shows and having the listener base and the people out there that are hungry for the knowledge, that really do love what we talk about and the guests that come on. So it's such a blessing and an honor to be able to do that.
Yeah, it truly is, and it's great to have you guys on that extra time. And radio is going to be where it's at for us. You know, we're going to get into the censorship issue here in just a moment here, but let me say as a prelude, my YouTube income is down 500%. I was really using that to kind of counterbalance everything else we tried to do, because our overhead's pretty lofty with the three domains that we're in. So with that gone, you know, I said, well, okay, we'll put more into the website. Well, in the last month, Google has reduced my web traffic by 35%. And I feel fortunate because I know Alex is down 50%, and that's pretty much the industry standard right now. I was getting 26,000 views a day from Google on the website. Now I'm down to about 1,200 on average. And my direct hits are up, Joe. Yeah, no, I'm talking about on my website now. Google's redirecting traffic, and they're also blocking URLs on Chrome and Firefox. Not 100%, Joe, but I've caught them doing it through collaborating with my audience and talking to them and what they're going through. They'll get a 404 on my page when I haven't had a problem in weeks. So this
you know,
is
we get that every day. You know, the 502 or 503
exactly.
Error code.
Yep, there you go.
We'll get that every single day, and it only lasts for 5 minutes or so, and everything will go back to normal. Our web guy Simon can't figure it out. But the YouTube revenue. When we started doing YouTube videos, you know, we would just post our 3-hour show every day on YouTube, and we would get the revenue from that. Now, without going into specifics, compared to what a lot of people make on YouTube, we weren't really making that much. We were making, you know, a little bit above $5,000 a month. Well, since then, we've, you know, quadrupled our YouTube video output by segmenting, by separating our, not only putting our 3-hour show up there, but we take every individual guest that we have on, we segment those videos separately and post those separately, and then post any monologues or any important, you know, clips. So we're talking, you know, a fourfold increase in the amount of we don't clear $1,000 a month, and we're making 3-4 times the amount of videos. And this used to be a very reliable revenue stream that would help pay the salaries and everything. And for a number of reasons, you know, we brought on some people over at Hagman Report. I've taken a pay. I'm making less now than I was 2 years ago, and that I'm sure has nothing really to do with YouTube, but it does in a way. Because the extra money would be there, or you might not have had to take the pay cut for bringing on new people.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, the name of the game now. And as far as Google censorship, we know this has been going on, you know, ever since they really changed. They used to have different metrics and analytics in the way that Google did things. You had real time. You had a whole host of options. On the Google used to be so much better. But now, you search for keywords, they can bury them, like you said. They can put less favorite, like you could search your own, the Common Sense Show. And you could get 10 articles first, you know, one, what's the definition of common sense? Or instead of actually going right to what the words you search for, you know, they pollute it with other keywords that are part of that phrase before they put your site up there. It's very deceitful the way that they do this.
Well, what they're doing is interfering in my direct traffic, too. And see, This is where the lawsuit from Republic is coming from. Republic is a group that represents a bunch of YouTubers, myself included. And there is a law firm in L.A. that's doing pro bono work, and they are suing Google. And I'm going to work to try to get them to expand the lawsuit to include websites because it's the same behavior. See, Google owns, they control 80% of all web searches. They are an unregulated monopoly, and as such, they cannot do legally what they're doing to us. It's called antitrust violation.
And Dave, let me ask you this.
We're going after
them. You mentioned the monopoly part. Now, I love watching documentaries. And on CNN, they have this series called The 90s, where it's real nostalgic. You know, you get to, it's on different topics. One of the one-hour specials is on the information age, and it's the, you know, the tech boom of Apple, of Microsoft, you know, Netscape, all these different, it's the boom of the Internet. It explains the boom of the Internet, the software, everything that is involved in there. And Microsoft was said to be a monopoly. There was a big thing about it where they were taken to court and proven to be a monopoly. Now, I do agree that we see a monopoly today with Google, the Internet traffic, and their control of what are they involved in 85% of all technological or Internet-related business. At the same time, it is a monopoly. They do need to be reined in at some degree. But does it set a dangerous precedent to have the government be the arm of objectivity to come in and rule on that as a monopoly?
Yeah,
let me address that. Bring government in.
Yeah,
I hear you. That they get worse.
Well, here's my answer to that. No, I don't trust this government law any farther than I can throw it. And the FCC has repeatedly shown itself not to be a friend of the people when they did away the regulations to allow an entity to own more than one newspaper in a market, own a newspaper and a TV station, which used to be illegal, or own all three. Or here in the case of Clear Channel in the Phoenix area, they own 9 radio stations. So when that, you know, the FCC is not the friend of the average American. I agree. And when you let government in, you're inviting influences there that'll make things not the way that they should be. I totally agree, and I don't trust the courts much more. But, Joe, let me explain. This is a stopgap measure. We need to buy 2 to 3 years of a pushback against Google. And it's something that Ernie Hancock and I discussed a little bit last week, and the conference I was at yesterday, we talked about it there. Here's the deal. Freedom is 62 miles away. And you have all these satcoms going up, and they are small, but they do the work of any satellite communication device. And between now and 2019, over the next 2.5 years, you're going to literally have hundreds, if not thousands, up there. They can't be regulated because they're above the 62-mile limit. And for a very small subscription price, we are going to be free of Google censorship, and people, I predict, will migrate there. And when the people migrate there, that's where the business will be, and Google will be left with their thumb in their proverbial rear. We just need to buy time with these lawsuits. That's my point, Joe.
No, and I agree with you. And, you know, speaking of monopolies, Amazon is in danger itself of, it's taking over everything. You know, Jeff Bezos, for a few days there, was the richest man in the world, but due to some stock market number changes, he was brought down. But, you know, he's buying Whole Foods. He owns the Washington Post. He's looking at buying other media. He's the owner of Amazon. He's looking to take over just about any and everything that he can. And some people are throwing the flag saying, hey, you know, this guy is a monopoly, you know, this is a monopoly too. As he's not just trying to take it over, he's trying to revolutionize everything to bring it into this, you know, new world order type of business model where humans are basically obsolete except for being customers, and you have this artificial intelligence slash kiosk type business model. And there's lots of concerns about monopolies in our government today, and or in our country today. And many want the government to step in some cases. But these government corporation partnerships are so strong. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, I would say the alternative media as a whole, in general, paid more taxes last year than Amazon did, if you can believe that. This is where the problems come in.
Joe, let me ask you a question. It's a silly, obvious question, but to prove a point. The question is, who owns the Washington Post?
Well, I'd say the CIA.
Well, okay, but the name on paper.
Jeff Bezos.
Exactly. Amazon. Listen to this. 2 days ago, or was it yesterday? I lose track, and I did a podcast on this. The Washington Post, who labeled the Hagmans and the Hodges, we are Russian subversive agents. Karma is a you-know-what. Can't say the word on the air, wouldn't say the word, but karma is that. Because the Washington Post wrote an editorial yesterday and said, if you like Google, you must like monarchies. And the whole article was belittling Google's domination. And I'll tell you what is obvious, and I'll tell you what I've been told privately by the SATCOM people putting the satellites in space. Number one, Google is dominating Amazon, and they're moving more and more into internet marketing, and they want to make Amazon their little boy. That's one, and Amazon's resisting. What I've been told privately is that Amazon is talking to Facebook in that serious discussion about teaming up against Google. That's right. And when the elephants rumble, the ants get crushed. And we're the ants. I'm telling you, Joe, I'm 100% sure what I'm telling you. I just can't put names on the last story because I can't betray the confidence. But the proof in what I'm saying is what the Washington Post did 2 days ago when they came out and attacked Google.
Yeah.
So, Google, listen, I wrote an article about this. Google is not just coming after the Hagman Report and the Common Sense Show and Natural News and SteveCoyle.com. They are also going after all newspapers that they don't agree with. Not just the Washington Post, but the Chicago Sun-Times. I published the tweets on this.
Yeah.
They're going after the Miami Herald. They're going after the Liberal Democracy Now! And a couple of George Soros' organizations. Google is insane. They're out of control right now.
It's like Coach Dave Dodenmeyer says, the truth is hate speech to those who hate the truth. And
ooh, I like
that is exactly what we're seeing, and these people hate the truth, and they're going to take every opportunity and advantage that they have and they can in order to suppress the truth and to oppress the people who dare to speak it. And Dave, you and me were talking off air briefly, and I mentioned this article to you. Canadian government adds the rebel media, Breitbart, Drudge Report to advertising blacklist. Now, this is a story from the 24th of August, just a few days ago. The Canadian government will have updated their list of websites added to a blacklist of sites that will not receive any kind of advertising from Canada's government or subsidiary services. CBC is reporting that there are 3,071 websites that are blacklisted from receiving advertising support from the federal government in Canada. The list maintained by Cosette Media, and the list is an exhaustive manifest of the sites that usually deal with gambling, porn, promotion of hate speech, or extreme violence. Dave, I sent you this article about 10 minutes ago. Hopefully you have it in your inbox this time. I know last time our on-air emails didn't go over so well.
Both of your emails never arrived, and Steve Quayle sent me an email on the 1st in the afternoon. It arrived late last night. So yeah, they're watching and they care. And, you know, Joe, I was on Darren Dammy's show, and Who's he? Well, people have heard him on this show. He's on KTAR, which is the largest talk radio news station in Arizona, and very popular show. And I was on Thursday night, and I was talking about Google, and I started citing statistics. And I said, tomorrow's article on the Common Sense Show will be published by 6 a.m., and all these facts will be there, hypertext link. You can prove for yourself that this every word I'm saying is true. So I published at 5:45. By 6 o'clock, the article was scrubbed, and then I only had intermittent website access until 1 p.m., and unfortunately, my webmaster was on vacation and traveling, so I couldn't get any help at that time. And then at 1 p.m., everything came back up, and I was able to post, because I had to repost the article. They scrubbed it. It wasn't even in my cPanel. It wasn't in my control mechanism for WordPress. It was just gone. And I think this was Google's way of mocking me and just saying, hey, screw you, Hodges, we got you.
It could be, because, you know, folks who deal with WordPress websites know that when you start a new article, you add a new post, and every word you type in a new post, just by default, WordPress saves it into a draft file. So when you say you get the title in there and you get, you know, three paragraphs, and you select some of the tags, and all of a sudden the computer crashes. When you turn the computer back on, you go back into your web backdoor or your website, and you go to all posts, and you'll see there's a draft there that was saved, you know, a second before the browser crashed. So you're saying that you had no backup in your WordPress at all of that you even started or did that article.
Yeah, and this was for an article that had already been published.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I was getting ready to send it off to Steve when this happens, because Steve Quayle is kind enough to run, you know, almost all my articles every day, and Steve is the first site I send out to, and boom, it wasn't there. I sent Steve a quick email, said, Steve, I don't know what's going on, I'll get this over to you when possible. Well, by that time, the news cycle's over in the afternoon, so, you know, it's kind of like wait till the next day, and that's when we went ahead and redistributed it. But, you know, Joe, beyond the article, I mean, here I'm on about 10 minutes on Darren Dammy's show as a, hey, let's do a Google update with Dave Hodges. And that was enough prompting. And you can't convince me anything else happened, because you just explained the anomaly here behind what happened. You know, Google's listening. I'm sure Google did it. I don't know if I could prove it in a court of law, but the circumstantial evidence is irrefutable. And this is the kind of crap they pull from website to website. I'm not the only one they've ever done this to. They have ripped articles off of Steve's site. You know, Steve and I have had that discussion, and they think they're all powerful. And let me tell you, this is an anecdote, Joe. This is really, really telling. I'm out here in the country. Now, we have fixed our internet problem to a large extent, because we have gone to a satellite service to supplement what we already have. And what we already have is CenturyLink. And I was accusing them of bait and switch, because our uploads and downloads were nothing like what they said we would get in our contract. So their big guy came out. And I'm not here, my wife is here, but she could argue this better than me. And she said, there's people coming and moving out here. We even have a few businesses coming in here now, small businesses, you know, 8-10 miles away. Why aren't you improving the infrastructure? And he said, with what's coming, we're not putting any money into infrastructure. This is a big, big, big cable satellite provider. And he said this is true across the industry, that they're doing very little with infrastructure. That tells you they're worried about those satellites going up to 62 miles.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, kind of switching gears here, I see we only have about 23 minutes left. I want to make sure I hit a few of these articles that I have saved, that I had congregated for the show tonight. This one is a real good one. I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't, oh boy, you know, here we go. The FBI says lack of public interest in Hillary emails justifies withholding documents. Hillary Clinton's case isn't interesting enough to the public to justify releasing the FBI files on her, according to the Bureau, who said this week when they rejected an open records request by a lawyer seeking to have the former Secretary of State punished for perjury. Ty Clevenger, has been trying to get Mrs. Clinton and her personal attorneys disbarred for their handling of her official emails during her time as Secretary of State. He met with resistance with lawyers and is now requesting for information from the FBI files and has been shot down. You have not sufficiently demonstrated that the public's interest in disclosure outweighs personal privacy interest in the subject, the FBI records manager David Hardy told the lawyer in a letter on Monday. And this is crazy. They're saying that there is not enough public interest in the case of Hillary Clinton's emails to allow the government to release the records pursuant to the FOIA request law. They're saying he needs to show that there is enough public interest, and so much so that the public interest outweighs Clinton's personal privacy in order to release this information. Mr. Clevenger, the lawyer, said he would have expected this if Mrs. Clinton had won the election. I'm just stunned, he says. This is exactly what I would have expected had Mrs. Clinton won the election, but she didn't. It looks like the Obama administration is still running the FBI, Mr. Clevenger told the Washington Times. And he goes on to say, how can a story receive national press coverage and not be a matter of public interest? If this is the new standard, then there's no such thing as public interest exception, he said. And seriously, in a way, this is like me going and robbing a bank and as a defense, you know, for release of evidence to the state, saying, you know, there's really not enough public interest in this bank robbery for us as the government to release this information and evidence to the state. Since when has any criminal proceeding or investigation been based on the level of public interest?
Never.
I mean, it's crazy what they're coming up with for this.
Yeah, maybe it's an allegory to res judicata, but here's the bottom line. You're absolutely right. If I burn down my neighbor's house and commit arson, no one's home, but they say, well, no one really cares about it, so Dave, you can get away with it. Or I'm stopped on a lonely country road late at night going 30 miles over the speed limit. Well, there's no other traffic on the road, Dave. We're going to let you go with a warning. That doesn't happen. And the bottom line is here, Joe, is Hillary Clinton, this is a flawed legal argument and should be challenged in court by this man, by Clevenger, because she is dealing in national security emails. There's no expectation of privacy when you're handling them. The only expectation of privacy is for the U.S. government to respect the classified nature of them. Wow. I mean, this isn't even... What this guy said just turns the legal system on its ear. There is no rule of law. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's no rule of law anymore. They can just say whatever they want to excuse whatever they want to get away with.
No, it's really alarming, and it just shows the continued behavior of corruption and the lawlessness that these people are allowed to operate under. And, you know, we wonder why these people are allowed to get away with so many things. Well, this is why. It's because, you know, everything is compromised. You have politicians who are allowed to, you know, basically kill, steal, and destroy. You have the people underneath them, the law enforcement branches from the FBI to the CIA to, you know, the federal police who protect them, the local police who protect those police. And it goes on and on. And this is why they're allowed to get away with just about every and anything, is because they have these layers of protection through corruption. And, you know, it's the same old song.
Now, there could be an allegory to this whole story, Joe. Roger Stone is saying today that Jeff Sessions is gone. And I keep hearing from Trump insiders, hey, just wait, Dave, be patient, you're writing too many negative things, he's coming, he's going to get the bad guys in the deep state, Wasserman, Schultz, and Clinton better watch out. This is what they're telling me. Okay, if Sessions is gone and he gets his own guy in there that's loyal to the process, we'll see. But I'm getting this Sessions is going to be gone and gone soon.
You know, that's many people view Sessions as a very loyal, Constitution-loving Republican. And, you know, I'd like to think that of him, too. But when he seems to care more about going after marijuana use than Hillary Clinton emails, there's a problem there.
Yeah.
whether his intentions are just misguided, or he, you know, he's corrupt like the rest of them, which I don't believe. It doesn't matter. He does need to go.
I agree. Jeff Sessions is one toke over the line, sweet Jesus, because he won't focus on the real issues, which is the takedown of the deep state. Joe, it's clear. Wasserman Schultz, aiding and abetting a felony, obstruction of justice, allowing her employees to destroy subpoenaed hard drives. Okay, she goes down. She gives up Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton stands at the crossroads of corrupt government and the deep state. This is a two-step dance that Trump should be following right now. And I do think Jeff Sessions is the obstacle.
Well, you know, we saw Trump run on this platform, part of that being lock her up, as well as the Make America Great Again agenda. The lock her up phrase was not just fanfare. She was and is guilty of so much, from the Haiti earthquake relief fund robbery to selling access for money to her foundation, the pay to play, to the Uranium One, to the, you know, the murder of Gaddafi, which I would say, yes, she is directly responsible for the murder of Gaddafi, for the rise of ISIS, and so much more. It is unbelievable the amount of crimes that this person has committed. I think you said it, and others have said it. She was the most corrupt politician in the history of the world to ever run for president, the office of the president or leader of any country. I mean, if you just took people by their track record, Hitler wasn't as bad as Hillary when he, you know, made his move for power. And she's writing books now talking about how Donald Trump was a creep during the debates when he was standing right in front of his own chair and she's the one that walked over close to him. Then has the nerve to write in her book that she wanted to turn around and say to him, you know, back off, creep. She's the creep who's on the stand there. This is why Trump won the election. The people could see through her and her crap. Out of all the emails, I say this all the time, out of all the emails, from her emails, from the State Department to the Podesta emails, out of the tens of thousands, there was never one email saying, how can we help the American worker? How can we lower taxes for America? How can we make jobs better? How can we, you know, turn these regulations around? It was all about how to personally enrich herself and deceive the American people. That in itself alone should be enough for her never to have even been able to run for president. But thank the Lord that she didn't win.
Yeah, I note here to our producer, I just got a couple emails say there is noise coming in. It may not be internal, so I apologize to the audience if you're getting this. We're not hearing it here, so Todd, go ahead and do a quick check on that. I don't think it's problems lies with us. We've counted. How many times do they mess with us? Anyway, Joe, I totally agree with you. In the new figures coming out, and I did a podcast on this 2 days ago, the front runner for the 2020 election today, now things can change, in the Democratic Party is good old Bernie, followed by Elizabeth, I'm in front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood, Warren, and then the distant third is Zuckerberg, and he is not even old enough to run yet, but will be by 2020, but he's a distant dark horse third candidate. Hillary's nowhere in the hunt. The people don't want her. The Democrats don't want her.
You know, Zuckerberg, I say, for Zuckerberg, put him on the ticket and do it right now. Let him run against Donald Trump. I would love to see Zuckerberg run against Donald Trump. If you thought the GOP and the people who voted for Donald Trump overwhelmingly voted for him versus Hillary, wait till you see the results of them voting on Donald Trump versus Zuckerberg. He has no chance of maybe, he could maybe win a mayoral race. He couldn't win a presidential race if Facebook depended on it.
You know, Joe, what's scary, though? I read a poll a couple weeks ago. I believe it was my wife that brought it to my attention. Almost half the young people under the age of 30 might all vote for Bernie because they favor socialism as a form of government. Yeah, there's the noise. I hear it now. Do you hear that, Joe?
Well, I don't know if you... you could have just heard me. I was pouring a glass of pop, and I just put the 2-liter back in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
But I stay muted on my side when I'm not talking.
Yeah, that's... I got to tell you, am I surprised? No, but we're still going out over the air, so I guess be thankful for small favors. But, Joe, Hillary will not play in 2020. There's no way. Elizabeth Warren is as scary as Bernie. Bernie is a communist. He admits to what he is. And Elizabeth is what she is. Pretends to be a friend of the people, but she's owned by the deep state every bit as much as Hillary Clinton. And you're right about Zuckerberg. He doesn't have a snowball's chance in you-know-where. So, but will Trump be impeached before 2020? See, that's what I think is the bigger question here. What do you think?
That is a good question. If the Democrats had their way, absolutely, he would he would have never taken office. I'm reading an article here. This is from earlier this week. I wanted to touch on ACLU sues Trump over transgender ban. The American Civil Liberties Union is suing President Trump over his decision to ban transgender people from serving in the military. Now, last Friday, as Hurricane Harvey was hitting, we saw what I would say is a brilliant news dump. This is when President Trump pardoned Sheriff Gerald Pyle. This is when he issued his rules and regulations over the transgender ban. And then you just had Sebastian Gorka resign. And the media tried to say that, this is Trump's attempt to steal coverage away from Hurricane Harvey by pardoning Joe Arpaio. But Joe Arpaio was a judge convicted, not by a trial by his peers. He was denied a jury trial. He was convicted by a judge for enforcing immigration law, which is part of his job as sheriff of Maricopa County. And it was great to see that Trump pardoned him, because this man was convicted wrongly, in my opinion. But the media went crazy with this. Basically said, how dare you pardon Joe Arpaio? He has been convicted of a crime. He's a civil rights abuser. How could you do this? Never said a word when Obama pardoned terrorists, murderers, and drug dealers. The 2,000-plus drug dealers he pardoned directly before his release from his release, his, end of presidency. He pardoned a terrorist. He pardoned, people from the Weather Underground. You had Bill Clinton do the same thing. Yet they complain over Trump pardoning a sheriff enforcing immigration law. The media is what's trying to flame the civil war in this country. And when we talk about division, when we talk about the political climate in this country, it is the media that is fanning the flames. It is the media that is responsible for Charlottesville. But I'll tell you this, the people in this country are not going to play along to this agenda that the media is trying to promote. Each and every day, everybody gets up, goes to work, or interacts with other people in their community of all different races and colors and creeds, never have any trouble, they never run into white supremacists, they never run into Black Panthers, they never, get into race wars in the middle of their streets. But the media is trying to promote this narrative that's saying that, all the white people and Trump supporters are KKK, and they just love Confederate generals and wish they could go back to the times of slavery, and the American people aren't buying it. I got to give kudos to the American people. They are very smart, and they see through the crap the media is trying to promote. What they've done with Charlottesville and the way that they've moved away from Russia, because there was nothing there. There's been nothing there for 9 months. They needed a new talking point, a new narrative. So they brought in this, KKK race relations narrative, and that's died out because the people don't believe the media. The media has gone so out in left field insane with this liberal insanity that it's not only turning off those who have some kind of interest in what's going on, it's pushing away their own base for the insanity that they are promoting.
And
it's
Joe,
interesting to
see right.
The media collapsing.
You're absolutely right. I was flipping around the channels the other night, and my wife and I happened to catch Tucker Carlson, and they had a Democratic consultant on, and man, was he backpedaling from Antifa. He was saying, we don't identify with... Wait a minute, they were endorsing them 3 months ago. Oh, they're champions of the people. But now that they have been accurately cast for what they are by Donald Trump, now the Democrats are backing away because they can see the people aren't going to go with the Democrats as long as they're this radical. I'm getting emails every day from disaffected Democrats that say, I can't be part of this party anymore. I hate the Republicans. They're a bunch of fascists. But I hate the Democrats more because they're so anti-American. You know, what's a good American to do? Well, the answer is not in political parties. That's my personal belief.
No, you're right. And, you know, this week was really interesting to see the amount of media coverage that was negative toward Antifa. This is the same media. If you remember back maybe about a year ago, Dave, maybe about 13 months ago, Donald Trump was going to hold a rally in Chicago, and there was all this concern over the security. And we talked about it before the rally happened,
right.
And it ended up they ended up shutting down the rally. They would never, they did not call Antifa by name back then. Not until after Charlottesville was Antifa called by name in the news. That was a whole 13 months from that Chicago incident. And as you said, some of the Democratic leaders, the pundits, the commentators, talked about how Antifa was there to, you know, hold the fabric of American values together.
Right.
How their peace through violence slogan was basically, you know, the best thing ever, the way to go.
That's right now up in 1984.
See.
You know that?
I know.
Love is hate, war is peace. I mean, 1984, Antifa.
Now we see that, now we see the media, and what really caught my attention, I think it was Tuesday, was Joe Scarborough, the Morning Joe. There was a soundbite from Joe and Mika, the happy couple, who, you know, denounced this Antifa and were talking about free speech. You know, they basically drew the line at saying, you know, what are you, Antifa, and you anti-fascist, you are the fascist. When you won't even let the First Amendment be carried out, you are the fascist. And that's the first time I've ever heard the mainstream media call out Antifa for what they really are. And hopefully, it's more than some kind of publicity stunt or ploy or being done for reasons that we are yet to see in, you know, with what events that happen in our world. But even the Washington Post ran a piece about Antifa being violent, you know, with their masks. They're able to get away with things that nobody else in this country would be. You know, wearing the masks. You're not allowed to gather together and have masks on. Especially when you have pipes and bats and weapons, and you're walking in a mob together with masks and weapons. But the police stand by and do nothing. They go and infiltrate groups who have permits, who are there legally speaking, with a permit, holding rallies, and they start massively assaulting these people. The police stand by. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. But we're starting to see some pushback in the media. Will that translate into these rallies we're seeing being held? Will that translate into the police actually doing their jobs and maybe even ignoring the stand down orders
in order
to uphold law and order?
They did in Phoenix. Police Chief Jerry Williams is allegedly a Democrat, but that's irrelevant to her professionalism as the chief of police. The police served the purpose of protecting the Trump supporters as they were leaving the convention center. On the other side were some peaceful protesters, most of them, and then there were, you know, Black Lives Matter, and they were telling people in the crowd they were there to stir up trouble. That's been reported here on the local radio. And the police, all they did was form a shield, and then they started getting pelted with rocks and bottles. And they acted with extreme restraint. I saw it all on TV. I mean, it was flipping from channel to channel on live coverage. The police marched in formation. They fired tear gas canisters, rubber bullets, but nobody got seriously injured, unlike Charlottesville. And at the end of it all, Joe, the mayor of Phoenix, Greg Stanton, the most ultra-liberal, sanctuary-loving mayor in the country, he said, well, I think there needs to be an investigation. Let me put it this way. If Phoenix had been at Charlottesville, if those policemen had been there, there'd have been no casualties. And so we have leaders like Greg Stanton running our cities. What do we expect? I mean, what's a good American to do when you got a mayor like that of a major American city, the eighth largest city in the country, and he is criticizing his own police for keeping the peace? It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is crazy. And we know from Charlottesville, a number of people, including police officers, have spoke out and not only said that they were told to stand down, but they were given orders to push the two groups together. And there's been eyewitness testimony in several YouTube videos and statements given on interviews that even said that the two groups, the KKK and the Black Lives Matter protesters who were violent, were bussed in together on the same buses. Mm-hmm. Not only that, they were seen eating together in diners after the incident, meaning that they were there as paid protesters, paid provocateurs. There was no real political agenda there. Their only agenda was getting paid at the end of the day, and that they were basically paid to fake battle each other. And there's more than one witness that came forward to talk about this, more than one police officer that talked about the stand-down orders. So there's something much greater going on here. There's a much greater division trying to be drawn. And I believe the media really, I don't know what it is. If it's it can't be the powers that be and their plans falling and their narratives falling before our eyes. They're much smarter than that. There has to be a much greater agenda at play here. They're influenced by demonic forces that are smarter than us humans, that are more clever than we are. So they're not going to let their narratives just fail like that. There's something else much greater going on here that we are yet to see what it really is, what the true agenda and purpose really is.
Well, the one of the purposes on the earthly plane is to keep us divided. I was talking about this with Congressman Gomar Staffer yesterday, Teresa Martinez, and Jill Delgado from the Secretary of State's office. And I told both of them, I said, that they're trying to keep us divided. Because if we all unite, whether we're black, white, Latino, Asian, doesn't matter, but if we unite, we see we really have a common enemy, and it's the people who are behind our government who are basically trying to rob us of our liberties, and they're trying to bring down America brick by brick. And this is why they do the divide and conquer. They want to start, in my humble opinion, a civil war based on racial lines. Whoever thought, Joe, that Charles Manson's Helter Skelter would become a mantra and a theme in 2017. This is crazy.
No, David, it's crazy. And, you know, it's only going to get worse. But the one thing, as I just said before, and I'll say again, I do have hope in the American people, and I have hope in their intelligence, their ability to see through BS. And I pray that the Lord gives these people discernment, that they allow the people to see through the created division, the created hate. Because, you know...
And Joe, we're out of time, my friend. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off. We are out of time. We got to scoot. I'll give out the show description and location for your main show when we come back from the break. Stay tuned, everybody. Mike Adams in hour number two. You're not going to want to miss it. Our great thanks and tremendous appreciation for Joe Hagman of the Great Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks so much, Joe.